Good morning and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living, where we remind us, ourselves, each other, and the whole world once a week that such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity. So am I, and so it is. It is in the very nature of life. Whether you're appearing today as feeling groovy and laid back, or whether you're appearing as excited and fearful, or excited and joyful, whatever you are appearing as, it is the opportunity of the universe. It's the opportunity of life itself. It's the opportunity of what we call God to show up in you, as you, and through you. So welcome. Welcome to our celebration. Welcome to this time of stepping aside and just recognizing for a few moments what life's really all about and how to find a deeper connection within ourselves to living it. We are a community that welcomes all people. We know who you are because we know you're an expression of this one universe, this one power, this one divine. And therefore, we can only have one response to that, and that is to love and appreciate and celebrate you. Whatever way that you think of yourself, whatever names and whatever ways that you identify yourself, those are all still within that plethora of opportunities for God to show up. So we celebrate it. We celebrate you. We're so glad you're with us. We're so glad you've chosen to be part of this with us today, this morning, tonight, this afternoon, next week, whenever you're watching it. Know that you are indeed honored, recognized, and loved and appreciated for who you are. We teach a lot of things, but the core focus of our teaching is around the idea of one power, one life, expressing itself through all creation, as all creation. So, to know more about what we teach and what we think, I'd like to share a few more of those ideas as we declare and share our Declaration of Principle. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. So, and so it is. So thank you. And to find out more about who we are and what we believe, check out our website, cslmidtown.org. Also, now we're going to have a sharing and a spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer by one of our lead practitioners. A practitioner is someone who knows this teaching, who uses it for themselves and for others. So take it away, Doug.
Thank you, Dr. Bob Dean. Good morning, everyone. And first off, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We obviously wouldn't be here without you. And I thought it was not coincidence at all that today's topic, the fear factor or fear to faith, happened to fall on Mother's Day. Think about it for a second. How many moms do you know that have a whole lot of time to think about all the bad things or, you know, the things that don't really need to be thought about? Do you ever see a mom bear stop when her cubs are in need and say, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not going to have enough, you know, food for my kids, or, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to do? Or, you know, when a child falls off a tricycle, do moms have time to think, oh my God, I don't know what to do next? You know, what's going to happen here? No. These mothers are amazing. They are so brave and courageous. They don't even think about it. They just call upon that instinct that they have that's so strong and powerful within, knowing exactly what to do. They are divinely guided for sure. And that's what I love about the coincidence that today's topic falls on Mother's Day as we celebrate the love and inspiration and the wonderful effects that our moms have all had on our lives. So thank you, moms everywhere. With this, talking about faith and fear, kind of two opposite ends of the spectrum there. As practitioners, we often work with people in uncovering feelings that are, you know, maybe been buried, or the source of those feelings been buried. We have a tendency to kind of block things out, especially over time. And we have a wonderful exercise called Fear to Faith, which we have used many, many times. And I know I had an experience with this during my second year of practitioner training at my graduation retreat in California with Dr. Bakhtin when I first met him. And in that exercise, we basically uncover the source of those feelings and turn our thinking to those truths that are really the things that are relevant and important and that guide us and that we have within us. And those are wonderful ideas such as divine abundance, balance, beauty, freedom, joy, love, order, peace, empowerment, courage, unity, wholeness, wisdom. We have those things all within, and we have to just learn to tap into that. And if you need some help or some fine-tuning with that, please go to our website, www.cslmidtown.org, and contact one of our practitioners. We've got an awesome team of practitioners here who can work with you in overcoming whatever fear might be stopping you from getting or being that person or in that place in life that you desire to be. So join me now. I'm going to do a spiritual mind treatment, which is an affirmative prayer. Accept what resonates with you. And if something doesn't, just let it go. And I want you to just get comfortable in your seats, wherever you are, and uncross your legs and limbs and arms and just be open and know this together with me. There is one infinite power, one divine source of wisdom, one light, one love, that cosmic something that is present right here and now and always. And it is always within me and each person present. All we have to do is recognize it and call it forth. I do so now. I recognize that strength, that light within. I let it shine forth. And when I and each do that, we become one with all the power and wisdom of the infinite creator. That infinite creative process is our truth. And it is good. Today, I claim divine wisdom, divine love, divine joy, courage, and right action, guiding me and each forward, leaving behind any notion of fear or anything that might be holding us back, and instead turning our thoughts and our feelings to ideas of empowerment, the love, the light, the wholeness, the wisdom, the divine courage and empowerment, unity, abundance, all of those good things that are our truth and that empower me and each forward to a greater expression of life. I'm so grateful for this wonderful teaching and for knowing that this powerful spirit is always within me and within each. I recognize and celebrate that now, and I call it forward to facilitate the best expression of me and each in the world. Knowing this, I release my word into the universal law. I know it's done, it's whole and complete. All I simply do is let it be so. And it is wonderful. And so it is. So I found a wonderful piece of music that I want to share with you guys that just hits it spot on today. And it kind of asks an important question. What will you do today if you had no fear? Or what would you do today if you were brave? It's by Janis Stenfield, one of my favorite Empower music artists. So take a listen. Enjoy. Thank you.
What would I do if I were brave? What would I do if I embraced the fear that wanders through all of us at one time or another and kept going anyway? That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the fear factor and how it plays into all of our lives, and how by knowing the truth about ourselves and knowing the truth about how life works, knowing where we are in the universe and where we are in time and space, how that can sort us and support us and help us through those moments when fear may absolutely stop us and put us into a debilitating state of non-function. Several years ago, I was with a group down in Peru. We went to explore in the Andes and to explore parts of Machu Picchu and other areas where we were doing a process of initiation into a spiritual and energetic priesthood with a group of people who are descendants of the great Inca and are Inca. They're not just descendants. That's who they are, and that's what they still practice. So it was quite thrilling and quite exciting to be down there doing that. One of our events was we went up to Machu Picchu. And if you've ever seen the picture, you've seen the Huayna Picchu, which is behind Machu Picchu. It's that big, tall mountain. And if you're looking down, most of the pictures show looking down into the little, I would call it the valley, but it's not a valley. It's just a flat place on top of the mountain where the village of Machu Picchu is. And then there's Huayna Picchu up above on the other side. So that morning we got up bright and early. We got up there as soon as they opened and up and over and got our permit and went up to climb Huayna Picchu. Well, we went up one side and there were a group of us. We had learned some techniques for climbing and for walking and for dealing with the energies of and fatigues of all of that. And what I didn't tell you though is I was terrified of heights, but I'd seen pictures. So it was a nice curvy mountain trail, switchbacks going all the way up the mountain. So I knew that I would always be solidly on the ground and I could look at the mountain and look at the trees and didn't have to look out the side to see what was really over there. And I knew it would all be wonderful and I would be just fine. And so I went. And as we got higher and higher, it got to be more and more a little nerve-wracking. And as we reached an area near the top, one of the practices was a spiritual practice. We crawled through a cave. The trail led right to the mouth of this little cave, and we went through it and came out on the other side. And when we came out on the other side, we were on the pinnacle at the peak of Huayna Picchu. Beautiful view, 360 degrees, great pictures, all of that. And I sat up there for a while, just enjoying the height, meditating, feeling the cool air at that altitude. And then it came time to come back down. Well, unknown to me, we weren't coming back down the same way we went up, because there was yet another trail that came back around and down the other side of the mountain. And as we walked a few feet to where we started down that trail, the first 100 feet or so of the trail were narrow stairway carved out of the cliff with steps that are about 4 or 5 inches deep. And maybe a foot, foot and a half wide. And there was nothing to hold on to, no guardrail, just the wall of the mountain and empty space, looking down hundreds of feet into the valley. Beautiful view if you love that sort of thing and you're not terrified of heights. I took one look at it and went, oh my God, I'm going to die, because I'm going to faint halfway down this thing. And when I faint, I'll fall over the side. Well, you obviously know I didn't since I'm here, but I cannot describe to you the blinding fear that took me over. I could hardly move. I was just sort of frozen in place. And one of the other hikers stepped up to me, because the part of what I was looking at was how narrow those steps were. I got size 12s. They don't fit on those steps, which meant I would be having to walk on my heels all the way down this long stairway. But one person came up to me and said, you know, there are two things you can do to get yourself through this. One of them is recognize that there's a magnetic energy, that there is a gravity that's trying to hold you onto this mountain as tightly as you want to be held onto it, and you'd like to hold on to it. And the second thing is there are some simple body mechanics that you can do slightly differently than you probably would normally go down a stairway that would make this easy. The body mechanics were simply rather than leaning forward at all going down the steps, you lean backwards, you take the steps with your knees, not with your hips or the rest of your body, and you just kind of walk down using strictly the energy and power of your legs to get down it. And lean slightly back. So if you lose your balance, you fall backwards onto the steps and you'll be just fine. Well, I took the first step. And I took the second step. And I took the third step. And about a third of the way down, I lost my balance. The most terrifying idea that I could have had. And I fell backwards onto the steps. Fortunately, the person behind me had stayed back far enough because they had a space out that I didn't fall on anybody or knock anybody off the mountain. And I continued on down. And by the end of that stairway, I could look out at the view while I was also watching where my feet were going. And by the end of that trip, down that mountain, my fear, my lifelong terror of heights was gone. I never did Ferris wheels or roller coasters or any of those things as a kid because I was so afraid of heights. Anything higher than a chair, and I wasn't too comfortable on that, was really hard. But you know what? The universe isn't built on fear. The universe is built on what's possible, on the energy of life and the life coming forward and unfolding in us. And that fear coming down that mountain and the intensity of it was the doorway that opened me up into the adventures of life that were to come after the many wonderful times and places I've been and things I've done and heights and lows and all of it together. See, that's the role that fear plays for us. Fear is not the ultimate reality of anything. Fear is simply the opportunity for life to point us toward that which we are holding back from. It's an emotion. It's a physiological response. Believe me, starting up at the top of that mountain, looking down, my body was reacting all by itself. My mind saw terror. My mind predicted death. My body went into shutdown. We're not going down these steps. It's called the fight, flight, freeze. Freeze has been my operation of choice most of my life. So I went into freeze. But it was the fear that allowed me to really face a deep, deep false belief. A false belief that I live in a dangerous universe, a universe that will not help me or take care of me or support me. A universe where life is precarious and where things are dangerous all around us. I had believed that everything in my life, everywhere I was a dangerous thing. The world is a dangerous place. Look out. Well, the world may be, but the universe is not. The world is a cumulative effect and experiences of human beings. But the universe is that amazing energy that is driving and creating everything that is. So rather than the experience of falling off a mountain, I created an experience of conquering that mountain and feeling so joyous and happy. And I still feel it talking about it. It was wonderful. It brings tears always. See, what fear does is invites us to pay attention. If you find yourself fearful about something, know that that is something calling to you, saying you're going to territory you've never been in before. Usually, especially our sort of low running anxiety that we have, that's what it's often about. You're about to step into something you've not done before, something where you've never been before, and our fear comes up. Public speaking is one of those for many people. Terrified. But underneath, behind that fear, there's a set of beliefs. But it's also sometimes a fear that tells you, this is a dangerous situation. Look out. And gives you pause to decide and figure out and listen to whether or not it really is a dangerous situation or not. Now, I'm not suggesting you stop and think about that when you're standing in front of a truck that's bearing down on you on a busy highway and try to decide, now, is this real fear or not? No, your body will take over and take you out of that space of fear while you have time to process, when you will have time to process. But I am suggesting that any of these terrifically fearful things that you find for yourself are simply invitations to grow, invitations to greater freedom, invitations to greater loving, to greater beingness, to greater goodness. You see, we need to look deeper. What's underneath it? And I use the example of public speaking simply because, I mean, I'm really clear what my fear was about that mountain. I was afraid of dying, afraid of not being, afraid of splattering all over the valley. Sometimes there are other things, it's not as obvious what's the belief underneath it. I believed for a long time with public speaking that if I spoke up, everybody would laugh at me. Everybody, or not laugh in a fun way. I like it when you laugh at me now, but I'm talking about laugh in a way that would derive or provide derision and negative idea to all of my thoughts and ideas. Or that I would just be dismissed. You know, nobody wants to hear what I have to say. And when I say it all and I sound stupid, then what? Excuse me. This is how I know this is important. Pay attention. See, because if we can look behind our beliefs and our fears, if it's a fear of talking in front of people, it's a fear of meeting new people. What's your belief about that? You know, social anxiety, people, there's a huge issue with that now. And especially for us now that we're coming out of our caves, out of our bubbles, out of our spaces of protection for the last 2 years. That's a long time to live in the various levels of isolation and to constantly be barraged with other people are dangerous. Other people are dangerous. They might make you sick. They might make you sick. They might hurt you. So we have to walk through and past all of that into that deeper belief, which is there's a danger out there. There's something wrong. I'm not in a safe world. I don't have the power to protect myself. And the truth is very different from that. And we'll get to that in a minute. But just allow your fears. Write them down. Think about what is the belief underneath and behind it. See, we talked last week that emotion is not the generator, but belief, and that which we believe in is the generator. And our emotions that come out of a place where we don't even have words often are still coming out of a place based on those beliefs and those basic faith ideas that we have within ourselves. So emotions, where you can look behind the words, can guide you to a deeper sense of what your beliefs are and what you believe in and what you don't believe in. See, one of the important things about fear is that it begets fear. You know that. You get a little bit afraid about something, and it gets bigger and bigger. I used to walk home from the movies. I lived three blocks away in a little town where everybody knew everybody, nobody locked their doors, all of that. But I could watch a scary movie, walk the three blocks in the dark to my house with one street light along that path, that whole walk. And there could be scary shadows when I started out. But by the time I got home, it would be monsters and who knows what behind every bush and every tree. Ran fast that last half of the distance, usually. So I got home. When I got home, there was a sense of safety. Even though nobody ever locked the door, it was just a screen door. Remember as a kid when you get in bed and pull the cover up over your head, as if that was protecting you from whatever was out there? It's a piece of cloth. Sorry, if there are any kids listening, don't let them hear this part. It's a piece of cloth. It has no power whatsoever. The power of protection is in your own consciousness of being protected. We run home. We look for that home, that place that's home within us, and that place that's home out there. That's where the whole thing Doug was talking about with mothers and Mother's Day falls into this. Mothers provide that sense of home. It's where we came from. It's where we started out. And our mothers provide this safety, this sense of, the boogeyman can't get me if I'm in mama's lap. Now, I know there are lots of experiences other than that. And you may be right here ready to tell me that I just don't know your mother, right? Goodness knows how many hours of psychology do we pay for and counseling and therapy dealing with our mothers. What we're really dealing with is not that person, that woman. What we're really dealing with is our beliefs about that person and all of the pain and hurt we may be feeling around our disappointments. You know, there's a divine idea of safety, of nurture, of nourishment, of mothering, of what it means to be surrounded. It's the divine idea that in many ways is most exemplified in life in the womb. And now that we're out here, no longer in the womb, we find all sorts of disappointments and hurts and anticipations and ways that we thought things should have been. And we have to work with those and we have to heal those. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you if you have mother issues. Goodness knows I've spent a lot of my life working with that. But they were mother issues in me, not mother issues in my mother. She had her own set, but those were for her to deal with. Mine are for me. You know, and so it's such a, for me, it was a very freeing thing the day I realized that my issues about mothering were not about that woman who was an amazing, brave, and powerful lady who may not have had enough resources to give me everything I needed or thought I needed or wanted, but hey, I'm here. She gave me enough. While she was dealing with being 20 years old with two kids and her husband passing away and no resources and no skills from there to going back to school and getting everything she needed and teaching us and taking care of us and protecting us and taking us out of anything like the kind of difficult situation we had lived in. Nothing but love and praise for her, the woman. But that was wholly separate from my issues about mother. Can I really trust the safety and the support and the love of the infinite, of the God within me, showing up to bring me comfort and safety, to stand with me and walk with me down those dark roads where it looks like there are boogeymen everywhere and there's only God and truth within me? This wonderful teaching of ours, The Science of Mind, is a teaching which says that we are on a path to empower ourselves to look at any discordant fact straight on, fully recognizing it, fully realizing what's there, fully feeling the feelings that go with it in any situation. And when we do that, knowing something better, looking at it honestly and long enough and hard enough to know better. I had to look at those steps long enough to know that I could get down that alive. Everybody else had. And we love that idea that if one person can do something, then it's available within everyone to do that. Doesn't necessarily mean you want to do everything everyone else does, but you have the power within you. So we look at any discordant fact clearly and directly until we know better. So I ask you, when you're feeling afraid, when you think about your fears, what pops up? What are you afraid of? What is that fear pointing you to? What is that fear saying, hey, here, pay attention to me? You know, it's built into us. It is part of the natural order of things. It's a natural order of things that you and I are not lone individual beings. We were born into the water, out of the water. And here we are, these physical water bags, walking through life carrying that water with us. And through the water in our lives and the water in our mother's wombs, we are connected physically with human beings back as far as time goes. And evolutionally, we have the evolution of millions of years within every cell of our being. We are not alone. You are never alone. You have all of that history and all of that alive and well within you. And so when we step through our fear and we look at our fear, it is directing us towards something greater. Dr. Ernest Holmes says this: from time immemorial, it has been almost instinctive for men and women, I would add, when confronted with fear, to turn to what has been considered a power greater than ourselves. You do it. Think about it. Something startles you. You suddenly find yourself in fear. You find yourself in a sense of danger. What do? First thing out of your mouth, oh God. Nobody says, oh Facebook, or oh internet, or oh my goodness, or oh dad, or oh mom. Now, sometimes you may say those, but if you're little and you're young, but not as adults, usually we say, oh God, OMG, oh my God. And it's usually instant, spontaneous, without thought. It just pops out of your mouth. That's because it's built into you to look for a power greater than you to solve the issue, because there's something in you that knows that this fearful thing is not the truth, not the truth of you, not the truth of anyone else, that there's something in you that's more powerful, and you call out to it. Whether you believe in God or not, whether you're religious or not, that doesn't really matter. It's what is that thing within you that you believe has greater power than what you have at any given moment. And we reach for it. We reach for it and we embrace it. You know, we live in a world right now of competing cosmologies. And by that, I mean a world where there's so many different ideas about what this infinite really is and how it works and how it's engaged with us and how we're engaged with it, whether it's an it or him or her or they or whatever labels we want to put on the God that we think of or the power that we think of as ultimate. You know, one of the cosmologies is that there are two powers. There's God and the devil fighting for your soul. Not going to say anymore. That's one. That's one cosmology. There's another cosmology that says there's no power beyond us. We are just animals with some spiritual awareness. And when we die, we just like every animal you may see on the street or get hit by a car, we're done. I'm not sure what those people shout during sex, but, you know, the people who believe that. And then there's a belief like this teaching, what this teaching is built on, and which is a radical shift in some ways from the culture it grew out of, this Western culture in America. And that is a belief in one power. And yet, if you look carefully at religious literature, spiritual literature, philosophies, going back as far as we have written philosophies in all the cultures of the world, there is a breath, a hint, a strong thread of oneness. One power, not two, not none, but one infinite ultimate power running through everything. And that one power is infinite. That means that's all it is. There's nothing else except that. That's the whole story. Yeah. One power. What we believe and teach is that one power is evidenced by science, by much of the spiritual writing of the past, and many aspects of it as it's showing up today. You know, beginning with the whole thing about birth, birthing, and the fact that at a birth, you just separate from the mom and you bring the water with you that you learned and that you developed in when you were in the womb, and you carry it with you. And if you're female, you pass it on. And if you're male, you support the passing it on. And on it goes. So see, we are all connected in this one energy, this one power. There are not separate places and separate powers. There's just this one. And this oneness is when you can have a sense of it, when you can feel the presence of something more than you. You know what I'm talking about. When you get quiet and you meditate and you allow the energy of you to suddenly feel it expanding past your skin, not being real sure where your skin stops and starts and where you become a larger being. You start to tap into that awareness of you as the larger being, the greater being. That oneness is what allows us to move through our fears, and that power to activate our thinking and our thoughts. When I was simply a psychologist working in, or not a psychologist, but a psychotherapist working with families and working with individuals, I taught something called that when facing the fear factor, what you do is you name it, you claim it, and you dump it. Well, I don't believe that anymore. When I added the spiritual dimension that has come with this oneness teaching, the science of mind and spirit, it's name it, claim it, and replace it. You name it. You got to name what you're afraid of. What are you really afraid of? Take some time with yourself. You're the most important person in your life. You're the only one that's not ever going to leave you. So take some time with yourself. Take some time with yourself and ask that question. What am I really afraid of? As I've gotten older, some things that I didn't used to be afraid of, I'm afraid of now. I've showed up. Afraid that life is winding down. Afraid my body's going to trick me by showing up with some strange thing I didn't know I could ever have. Those kind of fears pop up. You can walk through them. You walk past them. You get to know them. You recognize them. You make friends with them. You claim it. This is my fear. Just like I said, my mother issues are my issues. They're not her issues. They're my issues. She may have had some behaviors that helped them be there, but the truth is they're my issues. I'm claiming my fears around support and nurture. I'm claiming my fears around deep trust in life and in myself. Because unless I claim it and take it within me and recognize that it is already within me, then I don't have any power to do anything with it. That's why that whole naming thing in the Old Testament was so important. We name it. We can have power with it and over it, and we bring it to us. We name it. We claim it. And then we replace it. Not by continuing to see it as all there is, but by stepping above, outside of that perspective, into a place where we see that there's more energy here going on. And it may come as like it did for me at the top of those steps, with someone just whispering in my ear, here's how you do this. Or it comes when you recognize that there's more to you than all of your fears. There's more to you than all that you've experienced up until now. There's more to you than you have yet to know, but that, and we'll continue to know more and more and more. The best is yet to come, kind of an idea. That's where the fear to faith that Doug talked about is a process that we do, where you take a real look at this, and then you think about, what is the God idea behind this? What is the ultimate idea, the truth idea, that is the antidote to this belief I'm having as a result of my fearful experience? And you take that antidote and you think about it and you work with it and you affirm it and you reaffirm it and you build that faith. Fear is the antithesis of faith. Like faith, fear may be conscious or subjective, but it can only be eliminated. It must be removed both consciously and subjectively. Ernest Holmes. See, that deep awareness, you know, some would say that fear is simply faith in what you don't want, or faith in what you dread most might happen, and simply replacing, not by replacing that energy of trust, but turning that energy of trust, which we call fear, toward that energy of fear, toward a faith in that which we desire to see happen, that which we desire to have and to be and to be part of. Our deep connection to life that never, ever can be broken. It was here before you showed up in physical form. It will be here when you're long gone. As part of you, you will continue. It has continued and will continue. So we turn away from fear. We turn to love. We replace our fearful beliefs little by little. And that's what this teaching is all about. Change your thinking, change your life, change your beliefs, and everything will shift the other way. And I'm not talking about blind faith here. We're not talking about a faith that is blind and just goes forward regardless, but based on experience, built faith that has been built up over time. A wonderful scene in one of the, never mind, we don't have time. I will save that story for another one. What is true, though, is this. And this has been my experience, and it is my life affirmation that I probably use the most. And I'll close with it. When I come to the end, not that one. That one's good, too. This is the one that's really, really shapes me. When I come to the end of the light that I have known, think about that, the light that I have known, and step into the darkness, my faith, my knowledge, my experience, my knowingness that is far beyond anything that can be seen or pointed to, tells me my feet will either find solid ground in that darkness, or I will fly. Either one, I'll take it. Because I'm wonderful, you're wonderful, so it is. Thank you for listening. And now, Vance will share some other ideas.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bob. That wonderful talk, overcoming fears that are mental limitations. And that's part of why we're here, to learn, to grow, to develop, and know a better idea of who we are and what we can do. And with that, say with me our affirmation of prosperity, and you can donate at cslmidtown.org/donate. And here we go. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. So you can click the QR code or go to the website and donate, one-time donation, or set up a recurring donation like I have. If you're getting fed here, do that. And now back to Dr. Bob.
It's good to be back. It's good to see you again. Let me just say in closing, as we're starting to wrap up here, that there are some wonderful things happening. Next Sunday, we will be doing another hybrid service, and that is the celebration will be in person in Midtown. Actually, it's the sort of more up in Buckhead at the Garden Hills Recreation Center. 399 Pine Tree Drive, I believe it is. Sorry about that. And it will happen, but you can find it on the website. Go to our website. All the answers are there. It will be on at starting at 10:45. We will be live there, and we will also be on this same broadcast at this same time, the same way we're doing this. So join us. At the end, we will attempt to have you back in the room if you want to come to join us on Zoom. And we will have some interaction between those physically in the room and those energetically in the room through Zoom. The same thing is happening today. And that is, if you're on this call, join us on Zoom at the end or after we're over here. And there'll be some conversation there as well. So in closing, we always wrap up with this. I'd like to share with you that we have an affirmation of life. I face my fears through courage and strength. That's a good affirmation, too. That's not the one we're doing. Sorry about that, Diego. Diego's our production guy, and I did not give him clear signals. So here we go. This is the one we're using today, though. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you. We'll see you Tuesday, or we'll see you next Sunday.